Lord God, Heavenly Father, we pray during this time, may your words come to life in ours. In your Son's name we pray, amen. If you would find the back of your bulletin, Luke chapter 8, starting at verse 26, we are going to talk a little bit about the gospel reading here this morning and its significance on the world today. There's this whole debate over right and wrong, good versus evil. And so we want to take a look at that this morning. This is one of the more difficult things because we are sliding into, as a people, into a place in which we don't want to talk about the things that are important in here. And if we don't talk about things that are important in here, how are we supposed to talk about them outside these walls? And if we only talk about them in here, then where do we go with that? And so this morning, we want to get down to the nitty-gritty. We want to talk about, at the base level, what is happening inside our gospel reading. And so this morning, if you would read Luke 8, verse 27 with me. When Jesus had stepped out on land, there met him a man from the city who had demons. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he had not lived in a house, but among the tombs. All right, so there is a small debate in the world of psychology, even in modern-day pastors, of what was going on with this guy's mind. There was one thing that was evident. The problem is there's two ways to describe what was going on. One of two things. Either he was just a little delusional. He was suffering from something that was mental, or there was something really going on here. Problem being is that when it says he was possessed, that the demons had overcome him, the problem being is, what does that mean? What does that mean? Does that mean is there such thing as good and evil? Real good and evil, not just, hey, I think that's not right. Is there something that's real good and evil? Because this man was not doing things the way you and I would say. He was kind of under the influence. And if you notice, he had no clothes. What would you say if someone was running down the street with no clothes on? Was he normal? What goes on in your house? Normally it's abnormal, okay? Just let's clear that going around your house without any clothes is not necessarily normal. Usually, okay? Get away with it as long as you can. All right, so he was also living with the dead. Not just, hey, this guy didn't know where to. He was living in the tombs with those that the bones, and just awful place to live. Also, a third mark that you would say this guy is not necessarily someone who could pass as normal is if he was at the gym, he would have all the weights on the bars. And he could be doing it one hand. This guy had superhuman strength. And there's other markers that go along with this condition. And the problem being is that we like to say, well, that's just him being on some kind of drug. And can that be true? Yes. The problem is, in the United States right now, just looking at the statistics, Barna Group, they do a lot of research. And if they say something, normally churches take notice. And I quote them, and pastors quote them all over the place. In 2009, 10 years ago, they did a study, and what Christians believe, these are what Christians believe. Christians believe 40% of Christians do not believe the devil is a real person. He's a fictitious character that made up to symbolize evil. They do not believe in the Christians, not people outside the church, people inside the church. 40% strongly agree that basically the church has made them up. Another 19% somewhat agree. So almost 60% of Christians, now over half of Christians, do not believe Satan really exists. And that was 10 years ago. 10 years ago. And looking at the same data, it's probably about the same people who does the Holy Spirit really exist? 38% strongly agree that he does not exist. That he does not exist. He's not a real person. He's not God. 20% somewhat agree. So over 50% of Christians do not believe the Holy Spirit is real. No good, no evil. Everything is just the same. There's no reason that there is evil. There's no reason that there's good. Problem being is that somewhere along the lines, in the United States, in Christian households, in Christian education, we've gone wrong somewhere. And so I would ask today that we look at this gospel reading and say, what is happening here? What is happening here in our gospel reading? Why would Satan do something like this? It's because he knows that whatever he does to get inside your mind with either your relatives, with you, he can disrupt you, he can disrupt his family. If he can get you off to the side and alienate you from your family, that makes you your family easy pickings. If you don't guard against your household being in the Word, that means your grandkids are right there. 60%, almost 60% don't believe in Satan, don't believe in the Holy Spirit. Satan's done a pretty job in the church of getting people to believe things that are not true. And so we've got a small problem here. And when we take a look at verse 37 of Luke 8, if you would read this with me, then all the people of the surrounding country, yes, asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear, so they got into the boat and returned. So after Jesus had taken out these demons and put them into a group of pigs, and this man was healed, all the people of the surrounding area saw what was happening, and they wanted Jesus to get away from them. Why? Because they knew inside their hearts that they were living so far away from God. That's what the idea of the pigs are. That there's a pig farm around there with 2,000 pigs. And the only reason you do that is you do things that are against the Lord. And you build up and you build up and you build up. I don't believe in God and I don't want to follow God. And that's what God is saying about sending the demons into the pigs. And so when the Jews come there and they're before Jesus, we want you out of here. We want you out of here. We want to live. We were making money off those guys. We were living really well. Why don't you leave? So God says, okay, the first things aren't the first things. Your hearts aren't turned to the Lord. And so this morning, we take a look at his words to one man here. Really interesting. And here this man who, he was running around without any clothes on, total embarrassment. He had superhuman strength, used to cut himself so he was all bloody. This guy physically was not a guy that people remember with fond memories. And he wants to come with Jesus into the boat and go with him on his ministry because of what Jesus had done for him. And Jesus looks at him and says, I want you to return to your home. Can you imagine running around naked around Wilmer? And then a year from now, Jesus says, okay, clothe yourself and go and preach to people about what God has done for you. People are going to look at you like, aren't you the guy that was naked? Weren't you the guy that was like totally bloody and totally running around with you like totally crazy? What a perfect opportunity for this man to say, I met this man on the road, his name was Jesus. And even though I had 1,000 demons in me, He spent a little time with me, and now I'm all changed. My life is totally different. I'd like to tell you my story, because you know the story before I met Jesus. I want to tell you the story after I met Jesus. And that's called the Great Commission. The problem being is the church has lost sight of what the church really means. Barna did another study within the last 2 years talking about the Great Commission. The Great Commission. Where can we find the Great Commission? Where can we find the Great Commission? All right. It's right here. I came in here and said, okay, the Great Commission's on the wall. The writing is literally on the wall. And when we talk about things inside the church, churchgoers, what Barna discovered, 51% of Christians, people who go to church, don't know what the Great Commission means or ever heard of it. The command that Jesus gave us right before he ascends to heaven, the command, and Christians don't know what it is and don't know what it means. 51%, over half. When we take a look at this, 25, a fourth of church people in church can kind of understand what the Great Commission is. They've heard of it, but don't understand what it really means. So right there, if we kind of combine those, that's isn't that around 75% of Christians where the Great Commission is not even in life? 17% know what it means, have heard of it. Understand, 17% of Christians, of churchgoers in the United States. We're at an all-time low in this country. And I would think that we need to take a look and see what is really happening inside here, what's being taught. Is it from the Scriptures? Is there a right, wrong? Is good, evil? Yes. Jesus talks about it, and in the Scriptures, Jesus confronts it. And I want to take a small amount of time. This is a clip from Dr. David Meyer. He is the district president of the Michigan District of the LCMS, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He is one of three people whose name is being voted on right now for the president of the entire denomination. And he has some words that he gave about a year ago. And when I was listening to him, I had to stop everything. I want you to listen to this guy's talk. And he was asked in confirmation class, two terms. He said, what's the difference between disciple and a Christian? A disciple and a Christian. Here's his response.
Christians go to heaven. Disciples change the world before they do. For those who don't think we should discover ways to share the gospel news, but rather wait for society to come around and be friendlier to the church and her message, you're wrong. For those who say that only ordained pastors should tell others about the gospel because that's the only time the gospel is efficacious, you're wrong. For those who give in to demographic studies that say every church body is shrinking and then maybe allow that as an excuse not to find ways to be salt and light wherever God has planted us and not just among those who look like us, God forgive us.
So if you heard that, this difference in his mind, difference between a disciple and a Christian goes to heaven. Disciple helps to change the world before he goes to heaven. And he says, there is a difference. There is a difference. He said, nowadays, the Great Commission is looked at in churches as being only carried out by a select few. He said, to those who believe that, you're wrong. This is a man. This is a man preaching the word here. And he strongly advocates for Christians to carry out the Great Commission. So I have to ask you this day, Is Satan real? Is Satan real? Yes or no? Because on the other hand, if God commands us to carry out the Great Commission, which means go disciple all nations, and just like our district president, President Meyer, has said, if we take a look at what we've been commanded and said, well, that's for somebody else, is that God speaking to us? Or is that Satan speaking to us saying, don't worry about it? Or is God saying, what I said is important for the world? Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we remember a time in which you met a man on the road, a man who was literally going about his own way in life, Lord, that needed help. Lord God, help us understand that there's a reason why you met that man on the road. There's a reason why that boat was steered to that place so that you could meet this man. Lord, may we see today that we are all like that man, needing you. We are all like that man, trying to run away from you, going about life in the wrong direction. Lord God, help us understand that just like this man, we need you to go with us, Lord, because you have commanded us to go into our hometowns, to tell the story of our life before you and our life as we read your word and hear from you. Lord God, we are going to struggle. We, at times, are going to wear the shackles and chains. Lord God, sometimes we are going to put those chains on ourselves. May we understand that through the work of the Holy Spirit, the true and living Holy Spirit, Lord God, we can live without the chains. Lord God, may we see. Lord God, you don't send us into this place to be Christians only on a Sunday morning, only at a certain time, but also you have called us to a new life outside these walls, a place in which we will be confronted by a real Satan, a real demonic force. But Lord God, we go away from here with a real strength in you. Help us to be more bold of your great love, that you would seek us out when we were out of our minds, and given us a new future. In your son's name we pray. Amen.